Greetings to all in Jesus' name this evening. It's wonderful to be here at this special service tonight. Special for you, Wyatt, and special for all of us to be here and to be part of this. And I'm inspired as I think about the day, think about the thoughts that have been shared from God's Word, and especially as Brother Sherwin and Brother Steve are sharing here tonight. Brother Sherwin mentioned about the way of the righteous in Psalm 1, and you know, the way of the ungodly is contrasted there. The way of the righteous are like a tree that's planted, but the ungodly are like the chaff that the wind drives away. There's no permanence, there's no confidence. And then Brother Steve talked about, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. They're from 1 John. And it's just blessed me tonight to think about that. And Brother Sherwin this morning mentioned about the sign that he saw about that confidence is power. And tonight, brothers and sisters, there is confidence in Jesus Christ. There is confidence in the power that His Holy Spirit gives in our lives. And tonight, we are going to witness the ordinance of baptism, which is an outward sign, a symbol of what has already taken place in Wyatt's life and the Holy Spirit indwelling her. The Holy Spirit, lest I don't get this said through the message tonight, Jesus said that when He cometh, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And we think about that in our confession of faith. There's a few points under the Holy Spirit. And we believe that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. He indwells and comforts the believer. He guides him into all truth, empowers the believer for service, and enables him to live a life of righteousness. This evening, open your Bibles with me to Matthew 3. I'm going to read Matthew 3. This is the account of John the Baptist, his baptism, and then also the last couple verses are when Jesus came to John and was baptized. We'll read Matthew 3. Matthew 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so as Brother Steve said, this evening, the baptism ordinance is something that we do and that we accept as believers because the Bible teaches that we should do this. And Jesus even submitted himself to being baptized. And the songwriter picks that up in that last song we sang. It says that we bless the name of Christ the Lord. We bless him for his holy word, who loved to do his Father's will and all his righteousness fulfill. So we follow him with pure delight to sanctify his sacred right, and thus our faith with water seal to prove obedience that we feel. I was blessed by that song. Well, the title tonight for the message is from verse 11. And it's these words, the last words of the verse there. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, John came baptizing. He was the forerunner of Christ. And his baptism was by water. And it was a baptism of repentance. He said, Repent ye. And he came preaching that. He came preparing the way. But in all of that, his main purpose was to prepare the way for the Messiah, for Jesus. And it was revealed to John ahead of time that when you see the Spirit descending like a dove, then that's the sign. That's the Messiah. This man is Messiah. And so in verse 16, John saw that when he baptized Jesus. Apparently he knew Jesus before this. You know, Jesus and John were related. Their mothers spent time together before these two men were born. And apparently they had some acquaintance before this time because of the conversation that they had. They knew a little bit about something about each other. But Jesus said to John, let's do this. Thus it becometh us to fill all righteousness. And then John saw that. He saw the Spirit. The Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. I believe that he there in verse 16, the first he, or the pronoun he there after Jesus is referring to Jesus, but the second one where it says he saw the Spirit of God descending would be John the Baptist because of the other scripture where he was told that he would see that. And so John pointed to Jesus as being the Messiah. Now John says, as he's baptizing, he's preaching, and people came from all over to hear John preach. But he's preaching, and he's saying, I'm baptizing you with water under repentance. But there's one coming that's mightier than I. And he's going to have a different baptism. He's going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, we think about John the Baptist. Jesus said that there was none greater born among men than John. And so if John himself testified that Jesus was mightier, certainly Jesus is mightier. And John goes on to give us a picture here about how mighty Jesus is. He says he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. In other words, Jesus was going to be able to take his Spirit, the Holy Ghost, part of the Trinity, he's going to take his Spirit and he's going to be able to pour it upon other people. John, all John the Baptist could do was baptize with water It was a baptism of repentance. It was like the people made a decision. They repented. They were confessing their sins. That was in verse 6. They were confessing their sins and they were repenting. And the accepting the baptism was an outward sign that they had done this. And he says to them, especially to those that weren't coming for the right reasons, perhaps, bring forth fruits meet for repentance, or suitable or fitting repentance. In other words, if you have repented, now your life will reflect that. If you have repentance, is a change. It's a U-turn. Now, thinking about Jesus here and how mighty he is, John gives us a picture of, in verse 12, he says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. And he talks about the wheat, gathering the wheat into the garner, and he burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. We don't think in these pictures today when we think about harvesting. We think about combines and big equipment, grain carts, and so on. But in the Bible times, in Jesus' day, in John's day, they did all this by hand. And, you know, they cut the wheat by hand, and they would bring it to the threshing floor, and they would thresh it out. They would harvest the wheat, thresh it out on the floor, and somewhat of a daily thing from what I read. And so they would do their cutting, bring the wheat to the threshing floor, and thresh it out, and that was done sometimes by beating it with a flail or rod, or sometimes later on they figured out that it was good for the oxen to run about on this wheat, and their sharp hooves would husk the grain out of the shells, and there were a few other methods that they used as well. But after that was done, in the evening, when the evening breeze would pick up in harvest time, they would winnow the wheat. And that's the picture here that John is giving. He says his fan is in his hand, and the fan was a winnowing fork. It was another name for it. It was a wood instrument that had, you know, four or five prongs on it, fairly long, and they would dig into this pile of chaff, or dig into the pile of threshed out grain. And there was straw and there was chaff in there, and he would throw it up in the air, and the evening breeze would carry that away from the threshing floor. And so what would be left would be the grains. That's a picture he's giving here. And this is done thoroughly. He says he will thoroughly purge his floor. He's going to clean it all out except for the grain, the wheat, and that he's going to bring into his garner. This was the time when they had to separate the tares from the wheat, right here at the harvest. Tares, you probably remember the parable that Jesus told about the tares, but the plant looked exactly like wheat, and you couldn't tell the difference until harvest time. The tares, fruit, the seed, the grain would turn black instead of a golden wheat color. And so, but at this threshing floor is where, when they were winnowing, and after the winnowing was finished, then they would do some sifting as well. And at that time is when they were thoroughly purging this, getting out all the tares. These tares were bitter. If you ate the tares, it was not a good thing. In fact, it could make you sick. Of course, the chaff, after the sifting, because the winnowing fork would not pick up the fines. It picked up the straw. It picked up, you know, maybe the empty husks. But the real fine part, the chaff, had to be done with the sifter. And again, sometimes they would set up a, they'd have to, sometimes they didn't have enough of air movement that they had to set up a device of some kind to make air movement. Couldn't plug in an electric fan, but they had to have something there. And but a lot of times the chaff that they had, the smaller pieces, they would use in their cook stoves. And it would make a hot fire. And so we see that whole picture here, that Jesus, he has the not only the power to baptize with the Holy Ghost, but he also, and I believe this is future, where he's going to, in judgment, he's going to purge his floor. And he's going to separate the wheat from the tares. Only Jesus can see that, but it's revealed in the judgment. So the garner here is heaven. He gathers the wheat into the garner. And the unquenchable fire is hell. So there's two destinies. And that thought, as he thought about the way of the ungodly and the way of the righteous and where this ends up, makes this whole thing very serious. Now, we'll come back a little bit to this in a few minutes. Jesus, John said he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, it's interesting to note in John chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, that Jesus got the credit for baptizing. John 4, verse 1 and 2 says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John," and then in parentheses, "though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee." There was conflict there with him and the Pharisees. But Jesus did not do baptizing. John baptized with water. But at this time, of course, we know that the Holy Spirit was not poured out. And Jesus, that did not happen until after Jesus ascended, till he had went away. So it was Jesus' disciples that were doing the baptizing. Now, Jesus commanded in Mark 16, verse 16. This was as Jesus was getting ready to leave his disciples after his resurrection, before his ascension. He says in verse 15, Mark 16, verse 15, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And so there, in obedience to that, we believe that baptism is an ordinance that we need to keep. And when the Holy Ghost came, well, I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. Acts chapter 1, verse 5, Jesus said again in a little different words, he said to the disciples there that they were to go to Jerusalem, Acts 1, 4, and 5, and wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, "Ye have heard of me." That's the Holy Spirit. "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And so Jesus was getting ready to do this. But first of all, he had to go away so that he could send the Comforter, send his Holy Spirit. And think about how much greater than John he is, that he could do that, that he could send his Spirit and it could be poured out on each believer. So much greater. And so we have the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came. And it's interesting that there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Jesus said he was going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. It's interesting symbolism there. Fire is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's a figurative symbol of spiritual power. And so we know what happened on the day of Pentecost after the Holy Spirit came. Why, the disciples, there was a, 120 of them or so that were together at least at one time there when they ordained another disciple to take the spot that Judas had filled. But on the day of Pentecost, they preached. The Holy Spirit filled them and they preached. And of course, we have Peter's sermon recorded. And what power? The Holy Spirit was, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the song goes, when Peter started preaching, how it changed the hearts of men. Some 3,000 were converted and delivered from their sins. And it was that preaching. In verse 37, Acts 2 says, now when they heard this, that's the preaching, a preaching of the word, the preaching about the gospel of Jesus Christ, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I had a friend when we lived in Illinois. He's not a Mennonite, but he would come into the furniture store there where I worked, and about every Thursday he'd come in there and we'd talk. He told me, I didn't study this myself, he told me that his son was studying in college, or studying Greek, the Greek language, in Bible college. And he told his dad, he said, you know, that phrase there in Acts chapter 2:38, that repent and be baptized, he says it's just like one word in the Greek. It's all the same thing. Repent and be baptized. It just goes together. And we certainly, the other scriptures that we have bear that out. It's repentance and baptism as a symbol of that. And so, John chapter 1, John writes this. Verse 12, he says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And you can turn with me to Galatians 3:27. Galatians 3:27 says this, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so here comes that power. As we are baptized, we put on Christ. And what is, as we put on Christ, and 1 Corinthians 12:13 says that we are baptized into one body. We're baptized into Christ's body. Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. Let's turn to those verses. Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. Again, we have this thought of being baptized into Jesus Christ. It says, Romans 6, verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. And so, just as Jesus, when he was resurrected, he had a new body, didn't he? He had not a body of flesh and blood. It was a body of flesh and bones. It was an incorruptible. It was a glorified body. And so as we die to ourselves and we put on Christ, then we can walk in newness of life as our life comes forth in Jesus Christ. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. We walk in newness of life because we've put on Christ. And so we can bring forth fruit. We can bring forth the fruit of the Holy Spirit: love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Just as John the Baptist was preaching, he said to those men, you bring forth fruits that are suitable or fitting for repentance. Let's turn now to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 is a story about Cornelius and Peter. We talked about the day of Pentecost and how the Holy Spirit was poured out. That was the Jews. They were all Jews. It's poured out on the Jews. And they didn't understand that this was also available to the Gentiles. But Acts chapter 10, God showed Peter this. And as Peter went there to Cornelius, we'll start reading in verse 34 of Acts chapter 10. It says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Jesus had told his disciples, now you be witnesses for me. And you go the verses that we read in Mark 16. That those that believe, you baptize. And we know Matthew 28, the Great Commission, where Jesus said that baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, this is what they were doing, but they were only doing it among the Jews. But now God's showing Peter, now you go to this man Cornelius, and God showed him that the Gentiles also. And so There's just three things here that I like to look at in this scripture that we just read, and that is that the witness was in the preaching. It was in the preaching of the word, and it was three things. It was the word of peace, that's in verse 36. It was in the word of repentance, that's in verse 37, where it talks about the baptism which John preached. And it was in the word of testimony, and that is in verse 42. Acts 8:4 says that disciples went everywhere preaching the word. Now that was just to the Jews. But now they've got an even broader everywhere to go. They're just discovering this. But that word that they preached, like I said before, the Holy Ghost brings conviction when the word is preached. And so they went everywhere preaching the word. Now, it was the word of peace. And that verse 36 there, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. There's a verse in Isaiah 57:19. It says that, this is the same chapter where it talks about, God says, I dwell in a high and holy place, but also with him that is of a humble spirit. But verse 19 says, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near. Think about the Jews and the Gentiles there. Him that is far off and him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. And then the next verse, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But those that will come and be healed, there is peace. It's the word of peace. The angels, when they came to the shepherds, they said, peace on earth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Jesus, we know, is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. And Jesus said in John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So it's the word of peace. Also the word of repentance. And we talked about that a bit already, that John preached that word of repentance. It was repentance for the remission of sins. Baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And he said, bring forth fruits. And some of the people that came there said, and you can read this in Luke chapter 3. They said, well, what shall we do? The soldiers asked him that. What shall we do? And so he told them. And there was other groups of people that asked him, what shall we do? In that repentance, there was a change. Now, the word of testimony, that was the third thing here in this little sermon here that Peter preached. Or maybe it was just a testimony. I believe it was, because he says of a truth, and he realized this whole thing came clear to him. It was just his testimony. But it was the word of testimony. Verse 43, Jesus' disciples were to be witnesses. He commanded us to preach unto the people. That's verse 43, or verse 42 of chapter 10. He commanded us to be witnesses, or commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to judge the quick and the dead. And this was to whosoever believeth in verse 43, to him shall receive the remission of sins. We see how this goes together with John's preaching. He preached the baptism of repentance, and believing in Jesus, this all goes together. Believing in him, by believing on his name, we're going to see the remission of sins. But this thought that Jesus is the Savior is what they were preaching. But along with that, they were also preaching, end of verse 42, that Jesus is ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. And we talked about, I tried to describe a little bit that winnowing process and the sifting process. But that is Jesus. That is a picture of Jesus judging. And Jesus will know, he will know if we are wheat. He will know if I'm wheat or if I'm a tare. Jesus will know that. It will be plain in the judgment day. There's more that we could touch on here, but just as John testified of Jesus, He said, this is the Christ. This man is going to be the Messiah. He testified of Jesus' Messiahship. But just as John testified of Jesus, Jesus calls us as his disciples to do that for him today, to testify of him, testify that he is the Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's the Savior. And he's the judge. Jesus is the judge. He will be my judge. He will be your judge. In closing, I'd like to read verse 38 again here in chapter 10. And I think it just fits really well with what John said about Jesus, that he was going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. It's almost word for word here. Verse 38. They were to publish this. It was a witness how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. We said that fire symbolizes spiritual power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And you know, when the Christians began to go to the city of Antioch and began to witness there, this would have been Gentiles, I believe. I did check that out. But they were called Christians first there at that city. Why were they called Christians? Well, the word Christian means little Christ. And so they were acting like Jesus, right? They were doing this. They were going about doing good. They were helping. They were pointing people to the Savior, preaching repentance. And so, for myself, I've been inspired with that thought. To bring forth the fruit and to act like Jesus, that is proof that we have received the Holy Ghost, that we have allowed Jesus to pour out his power on us in the Holy Ghost. And so, may we go forth and do that. We're witnesses. Jesus is counting on his disciples today to be witnesses. May God bless you, Wyatt, in your from here forth in this Christian life, and as you receive the baptism, and may this be something that, as again, is another step in your Christian life, in your walk with Jesus. And God bless you as you witness for him.